This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 444 and a half, down 8 3/4. September corn, 439, down 9 1/4. December corn, 442 and a half, down 9 1/2. July soybeans, 1424 3/4, up 9. August soybeans, 1365 1/2, up 4. September soybeans, 1267 1/2, up 4. July wheat, 579 3/4, down 5 1/2. September wheat, 589, down 4 1/4. December wheat, 612 1/4, down 3 1/2. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Monday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Monday afternoon. With favorable growing conditions, corn slid lower, with economic news that China's economy may be improving, which will be a positive for soybeans. Soybean exports, soybeans were higher. Wheat followed corn lower on positive conditions for other wheat growing areas around the world. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 to 10 cents at 431 to 449. Soybean bids were 9 cents higher at 1402 to 1426. In the central part of the state, grain dealers quoted shell corn down 8 to 9 cents at 425 to 449, with soybeans 7 to 9 cents higher at 1415 to 1445. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 8 to 6 cents lower at 439 to 460. Soybean bids were 3 to 4 cents higher at 1414 to 1441. Wheat bids were 5 to 8 cents lower at 550 to 565. Now from the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean Bids, they were 4 cents higher at 1441 to 1471, with the basis unchanged at 75 to 105 over the August. Hypro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $467.80 to $495.80 per ton, and that was down $3.40, with the basis unchanged at 12 to 40 over the July. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were down 9 to 10 cents at 447 to 463, with the basis steady to one lower at 2 to 18 over the July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids down 8 to 9 cents at 452 to 459, with the basis unchanged to have one higher at 7 to 14 over the July. Soybeans ended 9 to 11 cents higher at 1431 to 1438, with the basis unchanged to two higher at 6 to 13 over the July. Wheat prices were 5 to 6 cents lower at 563 to 572, with the basis unchanged to up one at 8 to 17 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids down 6 to 9 cents at 476 to 478. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 11 cents, with quotations of 1455 to 1456. Soft wheat closed 4 to 10 cents lower at 591 to 596, and Milo ended the day down 8 to 9 cents at 458 to 470. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 405 to 418. Soybeans were 1198 to 1219. In the central part of the state, corn was 410 to 423, soybeans 1202 to 1214. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 408 up to 425, soybeans were 1203 to 1224, and wheat ranged from 550 to 565. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 148.15, up 60 cents. August live cattle, 146.92, up 60 cents. October live cattle, 150.45, up $1.30. August feeder cattle, 207.90, up $1.02. September feeder cattle, 209.30, up $1.12. October feeder cattle, 209.45, up $1.12. July lean hogs, 128.30, up 47 cents. August lean hogs, 128.97, down 17 cents. October lean hogs, 110.75, up $1.02. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 23rd's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 68 cents higher, trading in a range of 114 to 126.75, with the weighted average carcass price of 121.66. From the Illinois Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 65 to 71, 4 to 5 weights 69 to 76, 5 to 6 weights 74 to 79, and 6 weights and up 77 to 80. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $5 higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $85 to $90. Receipts so far for today for Illinois hogs totaled $13,844. And from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 184 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $129.76, and that was $2.28 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $242.77, that was $1.88 higher, with select carcasses at $237.35, and that was $3.98 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 115,000, which compared to 113,000 last week and 112,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 379,000. That compared to 379,000 last week and 393,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.55. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.54. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.46. July corn delivered to Scottville, $4.45. June and July beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.25. June and July beans delivered to Scottville, $14.14. June wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.61. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.55, corn at Scottville is $4.46, beans at Greenfield are $14.25, beans at Scottville are $14.14, and wheat at Scottville is $5.61. The USDA released the Illinois Crop Progress and Weather Report. Wheat harvest is underway in Illinois, with farmers harvesting 20% of the crop by June 22nd. Heavy rain showers continued throughout the northwest and northeast parts of Illinois, while the rest of the state received less than 2 inches of precipitation. Statewide precipitation averaged 1.45 inches, 0.54 inches above normal. There were 3.8 days suitable for field work for the week ending in June 22nd. Soybeans planted reached 96%. Soybeans emerged reached 93%, ahead of the 5-year average of 86%. Soybean condition was rated at 73% good to excellent. Corn condition was rated at 78% good to excellent. Sorghum planted reached 85%, ahead of the 5-year average of 81%. Oats planted and oats headed reached 95% and 74% respectively. Pasture condition was rated at 2% poor, 26% fair, 52% good, and 20% excellent. Topsoil moisture was rated at 5% short, 77% adequate, and 18% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 11% short, 80% adequate, and 8% surplus. On Thursday, Kansas Senator Pat Roberts and 29 other Republican senators introduced legislation to prevent the Environmental Protection Agency from implementing its proposed Waters of the U.S. rule. AgriPulse reports the senators claim the rule would allow the agency to take over all private and state waters in the U.S. by expanding its jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act. Roberts said he wants to make sure the expansion of regulatory jurisdiction over waters of the U.S. is shelved for good, and he believes this legislation prohibits the EPA Administrator and Army Corps of Engineers Secretary from finalizing the rule or trying a similar regulation in the future. According to Meeting Place, data from USDA's Agriculture Marketing Service and the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates the per-pound retail pork value was $3.95 in May, which was nearly 13% higher than May 2013. USDA predicts the second quarter value will be in the mid-$3.90s, with the second half 2014 retail pork values likely to break through the $4 per pound level. June is Dairy Month, and in honor of that, I spoke with Nokomis area dairy farmer Dave Rupert about his home operation and the trends of dairying today.
We have about 300 acres over by Nokomis, mostly good, fat, fertile ground. That's why many people aren't dairying anymore, because they're raising corn and beans all the time. But I'm one of the few left. My son-in-law and youngest daughter joined us a few years ago, so it looks like maybe the farm will continue. Their children are the sixth generation on the farm, and we have registered Holsteins, milk around 75 cows, and been very active in different breed organizations, dairy organizations, and I'm on the Prairie Farms Board of Directors for the last several years.
You said you milk about 75 head of Holstein. Do you still pasture them, or do you have them indoors?
They have lots that they can go out on all the time, but as far as just pasture, no, we don't really have the facilities. And that flat ground, when you get water, it turns to mud, and it don't drain very well. So we do keep them inside most of the winter. They're on the lots, but even when the weather's permissible, they're out, so they got exercise out in the dirt.
And 75 head, that's kind of a small farm by today's standards.
Very much so, but it seems like we're always busy. The dairy conditions haven't been the best economically last few years, so it makes it tough. We don't have any hired help. We do it all, my wife, myself, and now my son-in-law and his wife. Of course, she's got some small children, so that limits that a little bit. But we've enjoyed it, and we've been able to be successful, so hopefully we can continue.
Now, you say that it keeps you busy. Do you just want to walk us through what a typical day is like for you, through the chore routine and everything?
Okay. Well, we start about 3:45 in the morning. Mark, son-in-law, he usually gets the feeding going, and I do most of the milking. Takes us till cleanup and everything, about 7 o'clock. Short breakfast, and then we're out scraping lots, doing other feedings. And then, of course, you usually have some other things that you're not expecting. Every day's different, that's for sure. When you get up, you're not real sure what's going to happen. Then it takes, of course, your manure hauling and veterinary work and cattle work with registered cattle. We're probably spend a little more time with our cattle than just a commercial dairyman. And, of course, then we got the crops that we have to take care of also. So, and then about 3 o'clock or so, we start all over again, so we get done by 6:30, 7 o'clock at night.
Well, that certainly sounds like a busy day. You said that the dairy industry, it's kind of rough to keep going, especially with a smaller herd. I can imagine that it's a lot of effort, a lot of work. What keeps you going with dairy cattle?
Well, I think what got me into it was I love the cattle, and I love the genetics end of it, the registered end of it, the showing and the merchandising and so forth. And I have had 4 children, and they've all been interested, even though they're the only ones back on the farm. The rest of them are all still interested in it and love the cattle. And bring their kids back to show or help take care of the calves or whatever. But it's been a good life. I mean, here our families work together. Everything we've done together, and that's pretty rare in today's situation. I mean, from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, we basically have worked together, in whether it's sports or the cows or the farming or whatever.
Definitely a good family dynamic to have. Now, the general trend of the dairy industry is it seems to be a decreasing number of farms and increasing the number of cattle on the farms. That, or finding a sort of niche market in your area that you can take advantage of. So what are the future plans for your farm? You said you had 75 head. That sounds to me like a situation where you may either need to expand or niche market.
Yeah, this is going to be a real problem in the next few years because I'm about done as far as my physical able to work. So Mark and Laura's going to have a big decision to make. What are they going to do? Are they going to be able to expand or find that niche? The registered animal has helped us where we've been able to sell breeding animals through the years. That is also kind of going by the wayside with the introduction of genomics and all this. It's hard to keep up with it because there's a few players that seem to be really pushing it and are way ahead of the game. And for the ordinary dairyman, it's hard to play that game because of numbers and so forth. But yeah, robots, as far as giving a person more time, possibly not having to be there morning and night. At least that's the way it sounds. But when you talk to the people that have the robots, they still have to be there because they, like any equipment, there's problems. And so you still have to be on call and be ready to answer to keep your operation going. As far as the farms, yeah, like in Illinois, we're down to less than 1,000 dairy farms on grade A now. The herd size continues. I think the herd size in Illinois now is around 120 head. So that has increased about 20 head per farm over the last 5 years. We get down to Clinton and Washington County, there's getting to be some 1,000 cow herds, and over by Olney, there's a herd wanting to go to 3,000. So yeah, it's seems like that's the trend now. It's either try to get big or get out.
Yep, get big or get out. That's very true. I've heard that a lot of times over the years. What are some steps that the dairy industry is taking to make sure that the milk is safe? There's a whole debacle right now over whether people should be able to drink raw milk or not, whether what they're getting in the stores is safe. So do you just kind of want to address that issue?
Yes. One thing I think is just a misconception out in the public, because here in the United States, our milk is probably the most regulated, most tested milk anywhere in the world. Starting at the farm, we, of course, have very strict standards. People don't realize the dairy farm is inspected by the state health department at least twice a year, sometimes 3 years. Plus, then we have federal surveys and federal inspections that are very tough, and we have to maintain equipment and cleanliness and herd health and animal health. They check our water fountains, they check our well supplies, our water supplies, it's all been tested. Most farms today, if we do have to use some antibiotics or something once in a while on cattle, we try not to anymore than we have to. But we have on-the-farm test kits where we can test the milk to make sure no contaminated milk gets into our bulk tank. And then the milkman comes and he takes a sample every time. He takes it along with him to the dairy. When he gets there, his whole tanker is tested. Then each individual farm sample is tested. So we've already got about three checks of make sure that milk is pure, clean, no antibiotics, no contaminants that's going to cause any problem with the public consumption of the milk at the grocery store.
Definitely a thorough process.
Very, very thorough.
Again, that was Nokomis area dairy farmer Dave Rupert. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.